The Obama administration may have left Pastor Saeed behind, but the ACLJ has not. This is David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ. I've got Jay and Jordan on the line on their diplomatic mission to Germany.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief.
American Christian pastor has been held in detention by the Iranians now for a while. Why didn't you ask the Iranians to do a gesture, release this Christian pastor to show some good faith, some goodwill?
Wolf, we did exactly that. We've raised two issues with the Iranians in our discussions with them. One is the nuclear program. The other is Americans who are detained in Iran. President Obama raised it with President Rouhani when they spoke. We've raised it at a working level on the margins of the P5+1 talks.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
No reason to get excited. The thief kindly spoke.
The secret nuke deal with Iran over Thanksgiving is alarming, saith the Saudi prince. Prime Minister Chamberlain would have been proud after the West gave the snake oil salesman of the desert, Mr. Rouhani, exactly what he wanted, time and money, to pursue his quest for nuclear intimidation.
Creating a sanctions regime that is an insurance policy and also creates leverage for us is incredibly important. I'm concerned about some elements of the text that people haven't focused on. For example, already in that text, as it relates to what is defined as a comprehensive solution, there's some suggestion that we are going to define what a mutually agreeable enrichment program is. So we've already ceded away from UN Security Council resolutions that say no enrichment.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is a special show today. I'm David French, senior counsel at the ACLJ with Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. And we've got on the line Jay and Jordan. They are in Germany today on a diplomatic mission to try to save Pastor Saeed. So we're going to go straight to Jay right now in Germany. Jay, what is the latest?
Well, the latest is actually the meetings. We're just a few minutes away from our first series of dinners and meetings this evening. Jordan had a preliminary discussion this afternoon. This is an international meeting of individuals that have influence from a number of countries around the globe, and the issue happens to be religious freedom and religious liberty. We just got a report just moments ago from the UN Human Rights Council that evidently they have found that Iran's detention of Saeed Al-Abadi is a violation of UN law. That report just came out. But we're also getting reports here that Iran basically has played us in this negotiations over this nuclear pact. And the reports, when you're in Europe, you sometimes get a little bit of a different perspective on the news. And what we're finding is that the Iranians believe that they got a great deal and that the United States caved. And, of course, they caved without the release of Saeed Al-Abadi. But as you mentioned, David, we're in Germany, actually in Berlin. We have a pretty active 48 hours coming up where we'll be with representatives from Turkey, the United States, Germany, France, Greece, and a number of other countries that are concerned about this issue. So we're going to try to, again, raise the issue of Saeed Al-Abadi, since our government seems to have ignored his plight right now by, you know, agreeing to, you know, talk to about him on, quote, the margins. And every time I hear that line, it really upsets me. Why we're talking about an American citizen on the margins when we were sitting across the table. I said this on yesterday's broadcast when I was still in the United States. We're sitting across the table from the captors of Saeed Al-Abadi and the other two Americans, and we didn't seek his release. But we're going to try this opportunity here. We've got 48 hours of aggressive diplomacy. I've just been emailing and texting. Some of the people here are ready to get the attention up. And these are leaders of both political, human rights leaders, and church leaders. And Jordan, I think we really do have another opportunity to raise this issue at a high level.
Absolutely, especially at a time when we're actually going to be at the U.S. Embassy here in Germany. So we're going to be interacting with officials who have different diplomatic channels. I think what has to be clear for everyone now is that we are, in a sense, as Nagma Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, has said, having to take on the role of our own government as best we can, though we don't have their kind of resources, but as best we can, and do what they have not done, which is press Saeed's case around the world.
We're going to be back with more from Jay and Jordan in Germany in just a moment. In the meantime, call 877-989-2255 to stand against a nuclear Iran. That's 877-989-2255.
It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release, not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. As David French mentioned, he's in our studios in our media center. Sam Bennett's in Washington, D.C. Jordan and I are actually in Germany as we're speaking to you right now, just moments away from going into, about 45 minutes away from going into the first of a series of meetings where we're going to be raising, as Jordan said at the break, the issue of Saeed Abedini. We realize our government is just completely failing in this endeavor, so we're trying to take on that role by meeting with ambassadors. By the way, Germany, when you talk about the P5 plus one, the plus one was Germany. So we're going to try to get as many representatives as we can from Germany to help on Saeed Abedini's case. In fact, the Evangelical Alliance of Germany is represented tonight, and we're going to be talking with them as well. If you want to call us and we want to hear what you have to say, how do you feel about the way the government has abandoned Saeed Abedini? We want to hear from you in this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. And how do you feel about the way the government has treated Saeed Abedini and his wife? You know, one of the interesting things, David, is every time we talk to the State Department, they keep saying when they ask the Iranians, quote, on the margins, as they say, the Iranians do not respond. And to me, the fact that we don't respond as the United States is where the outrage is.
Well, we have to make them respond because, you know, we forget we have leverage here, Jay. We have been imposing sanctions that have been crippling their economy. That's why the Iranians came to the table, and we did nothing with that leverage, absolutely nothing. We've been content with non-responses. We've been content to release Iranian nuclear scientists. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable, the show of weakness that we have had. And it's interesting to hear your perspective coming from Europe. Is that's how people are seeing it in Europe?
It's worse than that. I mean, and I'll get Jordan's comments on this, and I want to hear from the fan too. But the sanctions issue, they think, I mean, the Iranians and frankly, throughout Europe and I think the Middle East realize that the sanctions are gone now. So that leverage we had as it stands right now is absent. The only thing that will salvage it is there is a move, and we'll get to Jordan and Than on this. There's a move to increase sanctions because Democrats and Republicans are worried that we gave everything away, that the president bargained our leverage away. And folks, we've heard from over 65,000 people saying we want to stand with Saeed Abedini. We want to stand for sanctions to get Iran back to the table to really negotiate, not only for the release of Abedini, but to really negotiate an end to this new nuclear enrichment program. And that's where you come in. I mean, we're in Germany right now, and we could use your help. ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255.
Folks, again, you call 1-877-989-2255 as we're calling in live from Germany, working on the case for Pastor Saeed Abedini. And as my dad mentioned, the P5 plus one who made that deal with Iran, as those negotiations continue, the plus one is Germany. If you want to take a stand and join over 65,000 people, call now, 877-989-2255. And if you want to talk to us on air, give us a call. We're live, 1-800-684-3110.
Then we're going to have more from Jay and Jordan in Germany a little bit later in the program. But, you know, it's fascinating to hear this European perspective that they're looking at what's happened here as, time for business, back time to do business with Iran again. You know, if this perspective gets back to the United States and leaders on the Hill, do you think that we're going to begin to see a little bit more movement, perhaps, from senators who are and representatives who are concerned about this deal?
Well, you sure would hope so, David. And I mean, the most frustrating thing for me in all of this is the fact that I think it is now impossible to trust what our own government is telling us. I mean, I think about the last couple of months on this. First of all, they told us we had no secret talks going on with Iran. We now know that there were. Then they told us there were no humanitarian discussions as part of those talks. Of course, we now know that we're sending humanitarian aid. And David, most important to us and our listeners, we were told that this was singularly focused on the nuclear issue, that there was no room for discussion of prisoners, and we know now that we are actually releasing security-related prisoners back to Iran, and yet Pastor Saeed remains in prison. I've been on the phone this morning with members of the House and the Senate just talking to them about this dishonesty coming from the White House on this issue particular. You would sure hope that Republicans and Democrats would come together and say, now is not the time to pull back on sanctions. We've got to reinstitute them. But David, not a single vote is scheduled on those sanctions for this December period.
You know, it's really getting to the point where it's hard to believe anything that comes out of the administration. If you look back at their recent history of their comments on Iran, as you were outlining, there's nothing there that's true. There's nothing that's true. I mean, do we even know that they've raised Pastor Saeed? All the way we know about that is they've said so. But saying so, and it bears no resemblance to the actual facts on the ground again and again with this administration. You know, I have to think that there's got to be there's going to be increased pressure on even Senate Democrats on this deal. The depths of to which we have stooped to make a deal with Iran are becoming apparent, I believe, across the political spectrum. There are not a lot of fans outside of the president's hardcore progressive base of this deal. It's plain to everyone what has happened here, that in a quest to reach a deal, any deal, we have given Iran everything and we have got nothing in return. And Dan, I'm going to make a prediction that 6 months from now, when this so-called interim agreement is done, regardless of the facts on the ground, the administration is going to pronounce itself satisfied and try to extend it.
I think you're absolutely right, David. It all comes back to that key word of trust. I mean, you think about Pastor Saeed's portion of this specifically. You know, first of all, the State Department said, well, he wasn't even brought up because this was totally focused on the singular issue. Then, of course, they came back and said, oh, well, we brought him up, but it was just on the margins. And then we found out that we were actually giving up prisoners. So on the issue of trust, David, they have just completely abdicated the trust of the American people. And it was interesting to me. We've actually got this in the Bites. It's Bite 26. Secretary Kerry was pushing back on this issue a little bit and talking about, you know, this agreement is not based on trust. We're not trusting Iran. We're actually holding their feet to the fire. Listen how he describes this. This is Secretary John Kerry, Bite 26.
None of this is based on trust. It's not a question of trust. It's a question of having the verification and the intrusive inspections and the insights into the program and the commitments that can be held accountable so that you are, in fact, creating a fail-safe mechanism by which you are making your judgments.
I'm sorry. That's absolute hogwash. That is absolute hogwash. You look at the administration's own fact statement that they have put out about this deal. And what does it say on there? Everything is an Iranian commitment. They commit to do this. They commit to do that. They commit to do this. It's all based on Iranian promises. And if Secretary Kerry thinks for one second that Iran is going to grant the kind of free rein to inspectors to every kind of nuclear facility that they're operating, including those that are previously secret and still secret from us to this day, I mean, that's absolutely absurd.
It's not based on trust, except that it is. There's actually a lot of sound on this. I want to play another bite from Secretary Kerry where he actually contradicts his own words on this. This is Secretary Kerry with Candy Crowley, Bite 25.
Why do you think Iran is not North Korea?
Well, there are many reasons why it's not. First of all, it's a member of the NPT. Secondly, they have engaged in a negotiation. Thirdly, they have committed to have daily inspections of certain facilities. They have committed to restrict their activities with those inspections taking place. And in addition to that, they have publicly committed that they are not going to build a nuclear weapon.
You know, Than, okay. She said, why is Iran not North Korea? And he went and he said, it's almost like, as if he doesn't even know recent history. He says that Iran's different because they've engaged in negotiation. Does he not remember President Clinton's 1994 agreement that averted any kind of strike on North Korea's nuclear program, where North Korea was supposed to supposedly abandoning their military ambitions with their nuclear program? They publicly committed that they're not going to build a nuclear weapon. Wasn't that part of that 1994 agreement, which was essentially Bill Clinton's gift to the world of a North Korean nuclear weapon? And here we have another president, another time, same kind of deal, same kind of bleak outcome for the American people.
I think more than likely, David, the Secretary of State is simply following the Obama administration's line of, we can say whatever we want, even if it's not rooted in facts. As long as we say it often enough, people are going to believe us. And folks, it is just time for us not to accept the lies. It is time for us to insist on a president of the United States who is going to stand up for his citizens. You know, we just got through Thanksgiving. We're approaching the Christmas season. Pastor Saeed is in prison in Iran, and we are returning Iranian prisoners who were convicted and tried in the United States of crimes that are security-based, that were threats to the United States. What was Pastor Saeed's crime? He was a Christian, and the President of the United States did not think it a high enough priority to stand up for him when he was across the table from the Iranian regime. Instead, we sent them humanitarian aid. If you want to stand up for Pastor Saeed, call now 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release, not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French, Senior Counsel at the ACLJ, along with Dan Bennett, who's in Washington, D.C. We're going to hear more from Jay and Jordan a little bit later in the program. They are in Germany right now on a diplomatic mission to try to save Pastor Saeed. Jay and Jordan are there with other folks from the ACLJ. You know, they're trying to do the job that our own government will not do for one of our own citizens. It's simply staggering. Than, we've been talking a lot today about this unbelievable quote-unquote deal with Iran, where we have given them, well, the right to enrich uranium, we've given them the ability to maintain all their centrifuges, and now we've given them nuclear scientists. And what are we getting in return?
Absolutely nothing. And I think that is why you saw cheering on the streets of Iran when this deal was announced. I think it's why John Bolton called it abject surrender. I actually thought it was pretty interesting, David, to look at the reaction of some on the left. This next clip I want to play actually isn't from somebody on the hard left, but you did have people like Chuck Schumer who were outraged at the deal and immediately pressing for the United States Senate to pass sanctions. But listen to what former Senator Joe Lieberman said about this deal when he was on with Megyn Kelly, talking about just who you are dealing with and whether or not this deal is a good idea. This is Bite 13.
The ink is barely dry on the deal, and already Iran's saying, don't believe what the United States is saying about it.
It's bad news. You know, even if you're an advocate of the agreement, which I'm not, but the very fact that now Iran is saying, not just privately in a phone call to the White House, but publicly, that we got different interpretations of the agreement. I hope in the White House this leads them to put the brakes on and not to begin to carry out any of the reduction of sanctions.
One of the things that is fascinating about this is the Iranians have immediately run out there in the international press saying, oh, wait a minute, the spin that the White House is putting on it, which the spin that I'm reading out of the White House is we surrendered. The Iranians are saying, no, that's even harsher. That's harsher than reality. The reality is we surrendered to the Iranians even more than we think. I mean, that is absolutely stunning. And I have a feeling I'm going to agree with this next caller, Bradley from Idaho. Bradley, you're on the air with Jay Sekulow Live. Bradley, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I feel that this whole indiscretion thing with Iran and stuff like that is making us another laughing stock, like when President Clinton had his indiscretion with Monica Lewinsky. It was wrong for him to do that morally and anything and everything like that. It wasn't necessarily considered a treasonable offense. But with our turning our back on our own citizen over there, we have a lot of muscle, I guess you could say. It's making us look unnecessarily weak because we're not standing up for our own.
I agree with you, and I especially agree with you because, you know, as anyone who's had any dealings in the Middle East, and I spent a year in Iraq with the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment during the surge, and one thing you learn quickly over there is that strength matters. It matters whether or not you show strength. It's simply put, you're not going to make a jihadist like you by giving in to them. They will take everything that you offer to them and then demand more because the jihadist is not interested in reconciliation. The jihadist is interested in victory over you, and we have to understand that or we will always make these mistakes, Than. And I get the feeling that on some quarters of Capitol Hill in the White House, they don't get that. They think that we can reconcile with jihad when the bottom line is you either defeat jihad or you defeated by it.
Yeah, and I think it's actually going to take the American people, David, the voters, to actually insist upon this. I mean, everyone from Harry Reid to Mark Pryor to Mary Landrieu to Robert Menendez and Chuck Schumer all said, you know, this is a bad deal. We need to reimpose sanctions. We should not be drawing back on sanctions. But now that the United States Senate is coming back to town, what do we see? We see no votes scheduled on sanctions. So it seems to me like the Democrats in the Senate are trying to get back in saying the right thing, trying to get back in a position of strength. But, David, at the end of the day, if they don't force Harry Reid to schedule a vote on these sanctions, what's going to happen? Exactly the opposite of what Joe Lieberman was saying. The administration is not going to voluntarily move back on this agreement. They're going to move forward with it. And if the United States Senate does not force the president's hand, the president is going to get exactly what he's asking for.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, there the question is, are we going to be able to force Senator Reid's hand? That is the key question. And it's going to take Democratic senators, Democratic senators who are up for re-election, Democratic senators whose loss would threaten Senator Reid's hold as majority leader. Then he might begin to listen. And you know what? I think there's some real hope here. This is not a futile effort to try to bring this to Capitol Hill and to pressure folks on Capitol Hill, because there's already been cracks in the wall of support, the Democratic wall of support behind President Obama. Because, you know, as Senator Schumer and others, as Senator Menendez, they've been able to see Iran for what it is and been able to understand that Iran is a threat. It's not a partner for peace. Let's go to Melanie in Colorado. That's Melanie in Colorado. Melanie, you are on the line with Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, hi. Well, I was listening to you guys. I've listened to you on and off for quite a while, and you keep talking about the Iranians not being trustworthy, and they're not. They're master chess players. They don't need to tell the truth. They just need to get what they want. But Obama's doing the same thing, and I don't think he's telling the American people honest. I don't think he's honest to American people about this or about Obamacare or about anything. And I think that we have to check his motives. I say, what does he really want? I don't really think he's for America. I think he's got other motives, and we shouldn't pretend to trust him. And it seems like we're kind of talking in circles. It's beyond the time where we go, he's redeemable. He's not redeemable. He's never been in favor of the Americans. He's in favor of something else.
Well, here's what I will say, Melanie, and I agree with you completely. If you're trusting what the Obama administration says right now on Iran, you're not paying attention. I mean, Than went through this earlier. All of the things that they've said about Iran in the last year that have now proven to be completely and totally false. So whatever the Obama administration is saying to us now, I have no idea if it's true. No idea at all. And Than, you know, I think that's one of the key problems here is the Obama administration has lost that bond of trust with the American people. We literally have no idea if what they're telling us is true at any given moment.
Yeah, I think the verdict on the trust question is in, David. I mean, it's certainly in on Obamacare and the promise to keep your plan, but it's in on these negotiations as well. I mean, they told us that there were no talks going on. Clearly there were. They told us we were not going to give humanitarian aid as part of this deal. We're giving humanitarian aid. They said they were not going to talk about prisoner swaps, yet we are giving up prisoners while Pastor Saeed remains in jail. And David, I will throw this back to you to close this segment, but I would go to what Bob Beckel said when he was talking about Pastor Saeed. He said, you know, you have a U.S. citizen, a wife of a U.S. citizen who is without her husband, and she is asking for someone to stand up for him, to fight for him. And we have a president of the United States that sits across the table from the Iranian regime and refuses to stand up for him. Whether you're talking about the trust issue or just the strength of actually standing up for one of your own, this administration has failed.
Absolutely. And as Will just said in our chat, the only thing that seems to be true is that the Obama administration did not bring up Pastor Saeed directly in the talks. I mean, that is true. That seems to be the case. It seems to be the case that the Obama administration, as the leader of the world's only superpower, is willing to do a deal with the jihadist country that is our sworn enemy with American blood on its hands while it is torturing an American pastor simply because of his faith, and doesn't even insist on that pastor's release, unconscionable. We'll be right back with another report from Jay and Jordan.
Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French from our media office in Tennessee. We've got Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. And on the line right now, we've got Jay and Jordan in Germany, where they are on a diplomatic mission to save Pastor Saeed. They've already been in meetings. They hit the ground running. They've got more meetings to go through to go to. And we want to also hear what you have to say. Call 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about Jay and Jordan's efforts in Germany. We're talking about what our government's staggering betrayal of Pastor Saeed, just an absolutely staggering betrayal. Jordan, from your end, what is the European view of America's actions so far? I mean, how is Europe responding to this so-called deal with Iran?
You know, David, what's unbelievable is in the business news, you know, well, whereas there are a lot of American companies, or at least they're, it's not the main company, but maybe their subsidiaries, and certainly their European subsidiaries, who had done business with Iran in the past but had been weary because they were scared of violating sanctions. You're seeing all the business news here basically saying, you know, hey, it's back to business as normal. We'll be able to get in the chemicals, the building materials, the items that were sanctioned, that this new deal is going to let in more business. So you've actually got the business community coming out and saying, well, this is great for us. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means it's great for Iran. That means Iran will have more money flowing in, which is a serious problem to the regime. In fact, it's probably the only reason why the regime even came to the negotiating table is because they were literally running out of cash. Now there will be an influx, if these reports are correct, and they're basing this off the deal, there will be an influx of money coming from European companies and other foreign companies into Iran without fear of sanctions. And so you add that to the fact that the United States did not get Saeed Abedini and the two other Americans held hostage by Iran home, but we're letting them open up for business as normal as it relates to everything but nuclear activity. I mean, literally everything but nuclear activity is not only absurd, it is, as we've said, a betrayal to this American citizen and these three American citizens who have been left behind.
Oh, and Jay, you know, one thing that just strikes me about this is how it's desperately sad that we have to go to Europe to try to secure release for an American pastor, that we cannot rely on our own government. So you and Jordan are heading to Europe to try to reach people who may actually have more influence over Iran than the Obama administration does.
Which is absolutely pathetic when you think about it. But, you know, Jordan and I are here. But last week we had another delegation meeting in England and in Strasbourg with the European Parliament trying to get their input and their action moving forward. We had that take place this last week. Jordan and I are here at this conference and this meetings and these series of meetings, which I said would be an intense 48 hours coming up, starting in just a few minutes. But we're going to do everything we can to try to garner global support, since the United States acknowledged that it was only, I know you played that bite, you know, he was discussed on the margins, and we're doing everything we can to supplement that in an aggressive way, trying to reach out to our allies and our resources around the globe.
Well, Pastor Saeed is not on the margins with us, and we want to hear what you have to say. 800-684-3110. Again, that's 800-684-3110. And Jordan, we were talking about the next 48 hours are crucial here on your mission there in Germany. What can we expect to see from the European community to help Pastor Saeed? What have we seen and what can we expect to see?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, it does take Americans coming to countries where we're perceived as the powerhouse of the world. We make the deals. We push a lot of European countries to go certain ways, especially at the international level. For us as Americans to come here and ask other European officials for help, it shows a sign of the desperate situation Syed is in, but also a sign that our government is not doing its job. That's the job of the U.S. government that Jay and Jordan Sekulow and our team at the American Center for Law and Justice are having to do, a job the government was telling us they were doing, but then admitted they were really only doing it on the sidelines.
Well, thanks to Jay and Jordan for calling in. We're going to have more from Jay and Jordan as they complete their mission in Germany. We want to hear from you, 800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release, not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French along with Than Bennett, and we just heard from Jay and Jordan in Germany, and as the week goes on, we're going to hear more from Jay and Jordan as they are on their diplomatic mission to try to save Pastor Saeed, doing the work the Obama administration should be doing. Than, maybe that should be our tagline, the ACLJ, doing the work for liberty that the Obama administration is neglecting to do.
I think you're right, David. I mean, you know, I would just go back. We've really tried to give the administration the benefit of the doubt on this. I mean, when the president brought this case up with President Rouhani, or at least said that he did, we gave him credit for that, and we asked that he bring this up as a precondition to these negotiations with Iran. He failed to do that, and so we continued to be patient. But, David, here's the reality. When you sign an agreement, when you walk away from an agreement, and you put that negotiating partner, you give him permission to walk away from the table, and you leave your citizen behind, you have put him in grave danger. So really what Jay and Jordan are doing in Germany this week, it is something that the United States government should have been doing from the very beginning, but we sort of feel like we've exhausted that avenue. The president and the administration have not come through, so Jay and Jordan are in Europe, and they're trying to push the case forward in that way.
It's exactly right. And you know, I think it's absolutely clear for listeners to understand where the Obama administration is coming from as it interacts with the Middle East. And I think with this next caller, Irene in New York, is going to provide us with a good launching pad to talk about that. Irene, you are on the air on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, guys. Valerie Jarrett was born and raised in Iran. She's the one that made all these deals. We knew about this about a year ago, or maybe a little less, it's 9 months ago, from Aaron Klein. KleinOnline.com. He's on the radio Sunday nights from Israel on ABC. KleinOnline.com. He's an investigative reporter. We knew about these back channels with Valerie Jarrett and Iran months ago, or a year ago. I forget, honey. You think she cares about Israel? This is a nightmare. And nothing's going to, they're going to put more sanctions on.
It is a nightmare, Irene. It is a nightmare. And let's be clear about why this is a nightmare. You know, let's not forget where President Obama comes from in within this, the intellectual tradition he comes from within the United States. He comes from the academic left, the academic progressive left, and it has the following beliefs about the United States and its role in the world. Number one, that problems that we have with jihadists are, if not primarily, are substantially our fault. And that if we could only reconcile with the jihadists, jihad would be over. Number two, there are many people who on the left who believe that Israel has no legitimate right to exist as a Jewish state. In fact, they call Israel an apartheid state, and in spite of the fact that the Arab citizens of Israel have more civil liberties than Arab citizens anywhere else in the Middle East. But they call Israel an apartheid state. Number three, what do they also believe? They also believe that Israel should not have a monopoly on nuclear weapons in the Middle East. This is a thread of belief within the left, the intellectual tradition that Barack Obama comes from. So it's problems are America's fault. Our problems with jihadists are America's fault. Israel has no right to exist as a Jewish state. And Israel has no right to a nuclear monopoly within the Middle East, and that it's perfectly fine for Iran to have nuclear weapons. That's the intellectual tradition that we're dealing with here, Than. That's where a lot of Obama's base is. We don't know if President Obama holds all of those views, but there are an awful lot of people in his administration who do.
Well, you certainly ought to be listening to what the Iranian regime says about Israel and the United States. I mean, I think most of us have heard the reference to Israel as the little Satan and the United States as the big Satan. But, you know, I thought Bibi Netanyahu's reaction to this deal was very telling because, remember, he is on Iran's doorstep. If Iran is to obtain a nuclear weapon, it is his nation that is most likely to be the first target of an attack. Of course, you know, the capacity to attack the United States might be a little further down the road. But if you are a nation the size of Israel's and on Iran's doorstep, you're going to be very, very concerned about their ability to achieve a nuclear weapon. This was Bibi Netanyahu's reaction to this deal, Byte 29.
What was concluded in Geneva last night is not a historic agreement. It's a historic mistake. It's not made the world a safer place. This agreement has made the world a much more dangerous place.
That is exactly right. And we're asking you to stand right now against a nuclear Iran. 877-989-2255. And again, that's 877-989-2255. It's time to give our senators, our congressmen, the Obama administration a symbol of our resolve that we will not stand for a nuclear Iran. It is unacceptable to have a jihadist regime that is an enemy of the United States of America with the blood of hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans on its hands. Let's not forget, Iran was behind the Marine Barracks bombing. Iran was behind the Khobar Towers bombing. Iran has tried to execute terrorist attacks on American soil against Saudi diplomats. Iran has American blood on its hands in Iraq and Afghanistan, where they've launched through their Quds force direct attacks on American soldiers and have also supplied jihadists fighting American soldiers. That's not a partner for peace. That's an enemy. They cannot be trusted, and yet we've decided to trust them. It's unconscionable. So stand against a nuclear Iran, 877-989-2255. Let's go back to the phone stand. Mickey from Idaho. Mickey, you are on the line on Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. My question today is, President Obama said he asked Rouhani for Saeed's release, but is there really any proof that he did, or are we just once again going on his word?
That's a great question. I think the short answer, Than, is we're going on his word. I mean, we don't have a transcript of the phone call. We don't have a tape recording of the phone call, and Iran's certainly not going to acknowledge or recognize Pastor Saeed's plight. So I guess we're relying on his word once again.
Well, we're trusting him on this, David, which may or may not be earned based on the other comments that the president and the administration have made on Iran. You know, when the president said he brought this up with President Rouhani, we immediately thanked the president for that. But here is what was unacceptable is when he went back to that negotiating table, when he had Iran across the table from him, we know that he did not bring him up because he told us that he did not bring Saeed up. And just quickly, David, I know we got some other calls to take, but I want to remind people, these prisoners that we had of Iran's that we're releasing, these are really bad guys. I mean, these are guys that were convicted of attempting to acquire equipment that could be used for Iran's nuclear program. They were convicted of actually trying to buy vacuum pumps that could be used in the Iranians' nuclear enrichment. Three counts of weapons trafficking. You are talking about the worst of the worst and people that pose a security threat to the United States. On the other side of the ledger, you have Pastor Saeed Abedini. What was his crime? Being a Christian. And this president could not leverage his release in exchange for three guys who pose a threat to the United States. I think that shows just how weak he really is in this negotiation.
Yes, weakness personified. Let's go right back to the phones. Stephen in Nevada. Stephen, you are on with Jay Sekulow Live. Stephen, you're on the air.
Yes. I was wondering, is there any way of bypassing Harry Reid in the voting block? Because he seems to have a monopoly and able to stop everything from going forward.
That's a very good question. I'll take that to Than. Than, it looks to me like the best mechanism to get Harry Reid to move is through the Democratic senators who are sympathetic to Israel.
Yeah, no question about it. When you look at the numbers in the United States Senate, David, there is no question that a vast majority of them favor Iranian sanctions, at least in rhetoric, at least in word. And if this were to come to a vote, I'm sure it would pass. I actually am pretty confident it would pass with a veto-proof measure. But Vice President Biden actually sent a video message to the Hill today asking the United States Senate not to schedule this vote. And you know what? It worked. Harry Reid has not scheduled that vote for this December work period, which is either going to be 1 week long or 2 weeks long. So the senators who support this, like Mary Landrieu or Mark Pryor or Robert Menendez, they are going to have no opportunity to vote on it unless these Democrat senators go to Harry Reid and say, you must schedule this. We cannot go back to the ballot box. We cannot go back to our voters without voting on these sanctions because it is such a security issue for the United States. But you're right, David. That really is the key. The Democrat senators have to force Harry Reid to schedule this vote, and they are only going to do that if they hear from their voters on it.
That's exactly right. Let's go to one more call here. We got Charles from West Virginia. Charles, you're on with Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, I have a question. I was wondering, is this what the president meant when he told Putin that he'd be more flexible by cutting out these sanctions against Iran?
I believe we've got that clip. Can we go to that clip right now?
My last election, basically.
After my election, I'll have more flexibility. I think he was referring to that as a general comment that he's going to be able to make some moves that he wouldn't make if he was going to be held accountable to the American people for them. But you know what? It's not just the President of the United States that matters on accountability. It is also members of Congress. Members of Congress have the ability to overrule the president on sanctions. So that's why we need you to call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Members of Congress have the power to stop a disaster in progress. They have the power to hold firm against a nuclear Iran. But they're not going to move if you don't move. They're not going to take a stand if you don't want to take a stand. So that's why we need you on this petition, ACLJ.org, or 877-989-2255, ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. you can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release, not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We will get back to the issue of Iran and Pastor Saeed in just a moment, but I wanted to quickly play for you an interview that Jay did on Herman Cain's radio show talking about this IRS scandal. I know a lot of you have been following this. We, of course, have 41 Tea Party and conservative clients that were targeted by the IRS and have filed suit in response. We are, of course, running all of that litigation. We are also helping Capitol Hill try to get to the bottom of what exactly happened and who is being held responsible, which at this point from this administration seems to be absolutely nobody. Jay went on Herman Cain's radio show to give him an update, to give his listeners an update on where this scandal is at. I wanted to make sure you were kept up to speed on this issue. Let's go ahead and play that interview now. Again, this is Jay with Herman Cain.
One of the ways that we make our government work is we utilize the justice system when we believe that there have been some unjust acts, especially by our government. And one of the ones that I am excited to see in progress is the one that's being led by the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, where that's headed up by Mr. Jay Sekulow. Hello, Jay. Welcome.
Hey, Herman. Thanks for having me.
It is great
to be with you.
It is great to have you with us again, my friend. Before we get to the court case, why do you think that the administration and Kerry didn't even bring up Pastor Saeed?
You know, Herman, it's inexplicable, number one. I mean, what happened was so outrageous that there you're across the table from the captors of three Americans. It's Saeed Abedini and Amir Hakmati and Bob Levinson.
Right.
And you don't bring them home. It's inexplicable. I think the clear statement that we got, I spoke to the State Department yesterday at length. I sent a very strong letter
right.
to Secretary of State Kerry, outraged at this, before it even happened, saying don't ink this deal without bringing these Americans home, forgetting the merits of the deal for a moment. And the fact is, this was not a priority for the administration. They want to change the dialogue going on in the country so desperately off of Obamacare that they were literally willing to allow Americans to rot in an Iranian jail
right.
and cut a deal with the regime that's holding them captive, hoping that the narrative will keep their failure of Obamacare off the news. So I think that's really what it was. And it was not a priority for the administration. But, Herman, it's disgraceful. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. It's disgraceful.
Yes, it's disgraceful.
These Americans sitting there
yes.
rotting in these unbelievably awful prisons, and the president is having speeches, and John Kerry should have had standing next to him in Geneva, Amir Hakmati, Saeed Abedini, and Bob Levinson, but he did not.
You know, if they had negotiated a release of this pastor and others as part of this non-deal, at least
yep.
that would have been something that we would have gotten
yes.
out of it, and that would have been the lives of some Americans who have been unfairly held
right.
because of something that they really didn't do. But we ended up with a promise or a timeout on the part of the Iranians, and they didn't even bring it up, and that is disgraceful. And I happen
yep.
to agree with you on the point that you made. They are so determined to try to get the focus off of the failed Obamacare system, that they were looking for anything that they can call a deal. And I don't have to tell you that most people that are close to this, experts, and even Benjamin Netanyahu said this is not a deal where the United States and the other world powers really gain anything from this deal. And that is unfortunate.
Right.
Well, I hope that people are going to continue to fight for his release.
We are. We are. I appreciate
good.
You covering it.
Very good. Very good. Now, the lawsuit against the IRS, give us an update on that.
Well, we have we amended the complaint and added a lot of parties now that evidence has been coming forward in these congressional releases.
Great.
And emails. And so the case has taken on a new life in the sense that there's a lot more defendants, including the IRS chief counsel, the former commissioners, the current commissioners. And the government has to respond on December 18th
okay.
to this massive amended complaint that's been filed. And frankly, you know, they asked for additional time, which we gave them, which is the process, because they said there's an ongoing criminal investigation, which is interesting because not one of my clients have been contacted by the FBI, nobody. So I think what you have here is once the Obamacare situation and people realize what's going on there, which they are, and you're doing such a great job of covering it, and then you realize the IRS is the enforcement agency of Obamacare.
Right.
The IRS case takes on a whole new demeanor. We had a client, by the way, Herman, and you'd appreciate this from your business experience, who challenged a portion of Obamacare. It's currently at the Supreme Court, even today, actually, in conference.
Hobby Lobby.
And it's not the Hobby Lobby case. It's Freshways, the large food company.
Oh. Okay.
And you may even know them from your food business days. But they had an audit that went on by the IRS while this was all going on, which they came through fine, and then just 2 days ago received another audit letter. And I mean, I told one of our lawyers, I said, here's what you write back to the IRS. I said, just tell them no. We're not going to do it. We're not going through this dance again. And I think the IRS is institutionally out of control, institutionally incapable of self-correcting, and certainly institutionally incapable of enforcing Obamacare. So the IRS lawsuit has dimensions right into the Obamacare situation.
Now, how many participants in your lawsuit do you now have?
When we last spoke, it was around 28. We're at 41 right now, and about to file an amendment. Probably will add another 3 or 4. So it continues to grow. We're being very selective at this point because it's, you know, you can imagine the size of this lawsuit. It's big.
Now so. You said that are the IRS attorneys representing the IRS, or did they hire an outside law firm?
The Department of Justice Tax Division is representing the IRS.
Okay.
The individuals that have been sued are represented by a private law firm, which is, I believe, retained by the IRS, Steptoe & Johnson. They decided that they needed individual lawyers. And Carter Hall, who was at one time thought to be one of the main actors in doing the wrongdoing here, who actually went to Congress and told the truth and pointed to Washington, D.C. and his leadership there, he's hired a separate lawyer. So there's about 4 law firms involved, plus the Department of Justice Tax Division.
What level is the suit? Is it just starting out at?
We're just at U.S. District Court.
Got it.
In the District of Columbia, and you know how these roll. It grind does not grind quickly.
Right, and the administration knows this, and IRS knows that.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Holder, as the Attorney General, is handling it. We've sued White House officials. We've sued White House-appointed officials. So, yeah, they're fully aware that they've been tagged in a massive lawsuit.
Clarify something for me, because you've been involved in this kind of stuff, because I get callers who ask this. What are the circumstances under which citizens and organizations can sue the government and when we can't sue the government?
Yeah, that's a great question. There has to be an actual deprivation of a right or statutory obligation. So if you're just mad at the IRS for a policy reason, you can't bring a lawsuit. You have no standing.
Okay.
If that policy is enforced on you in an unconstitutional way, as would happen with these clients where their 501c applications were just stalled because of their conservative philosophy.
Right, got it.
Then you've been wronged. It's a great question because a lot of people say, we're upset at this. Can we join this lawsuit? And the answer is no. You have to have a concrete harm.
Again, folks, that was Jay on Herman Cain's radio show. We will keep you updated on that IRS issue. But, folks, as we go to a break, I need you to go to your phones at 877-989-2255. It is pretty clear that the American people got played on this deal. Not only were there secret talks going on, not only was humanitarian aid involved, but prisoners were swapped, and yet Pastor Saeed remains in prison in Iran. That is not acceptable. It is time for us to send a strong message to the United States government that we will not stand for leaving an American citizen behind. Call now, 877-989-2255.
Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.